Welcome to the New Earth Architect Tress, where you'll discover how the evolution in consciousness is paving the way for your leading role in architecture. If you're a high-achieving, spirit-conscious woman architect who's hearing the deep call to bridge spirit with form, welcome. Now is the time, and we are the ones. Hello, beautiful builders, creators, architects, designers of the new earth, land stewards and visionary leaders. I know that all of you are yearning and longing to build the sanctuary that your soul calls home, the sanctuary that provides you healing, abundance, and helps you manifest the new earth, whether it be your home, your interior, your home, a community that you may be visioning, or master plans for the city. I know you are all yearning to get gain tips, tools, inspiration on how you can build healing sanctuaries with the wisdom of nature. This is the theme of this interview, the Sacred Blueprint for our New Earth interview series. This is our 8th event. We are so proud of this beautiful international event that's gathering the world's leading energetic design experts. My name is Aisha Rose Melody Hassan, and I am your host for this series. I am an architect, alchemical healer, and the creator of the Sacred Blueprint. This is a cutting-edge vessel of courses and programs for women architects and designers, as well as land stewards and visionary leaders, to help them birth their dream sanctuaries through a new modality that bridges spirit with architecture. This series is a response to a call I have been hearing on very high volume from Mother Gaia, Mother Earth, and the nature spirits. They kicked me in the butt to quit my job in conventional architecture to pave a new way that is in line, in tune, in harmony with the spirit of the land and my clients' souls. So this series is about exploring what's possible when we work with, in partnership with nature, with nature's energies, and providing practical and conscious tools on how to do it successfully, to pave the way for humanity's unfolding, awakening, healing, transformation, and so much more. Today, I am delighted to be interviewing a dear colleague of mine. She is a geomancer, land healer, feng shui practitioner, and she is also a shamanic healer, and she's popped right in right now. Beautiful Sue Holmes, so happy to have you in this talk, in this interview, and I'm delighted that you joined the circle again.
Thank you, Aisha. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
You're absolutely welcome. It's an absolute delight for all of us. Sue, for audience members who don't know about what geomancy is, what's shamanic healing, land healing, you know, I know you're a multi-dimensional woman. You do healing for people, you do healing for the land, you work with existing buildings, commercial spaces, residences, all kinds of spaces, and work on an energetic level with these spaces to create healing for the environments and your clients. Can you share more about what geomancy is and the land healing that you work with our audience?
Yeah, I'd love to. So every place that we work with, whether I'm working with a client or whether I'm working with a feng shui consultation or a space clearing consultation, as you say, it could be from an apartment to a family home to a big commercial business to a retreat center or community. We're all living on the land. So I like to take a very holistic approach. So not just to look at feng shui in isolation, or space clearing in isolation, or human healing in isolation, or astrology in isolation, or oracular reading. It's like bringing everything together with whatever skills we've got to approach everything holistically. So a house is not suspended in the air, it's on the ground. And from a feng shui point of view, that's going to be looking at it through one particular lens. But I like to really bring in the geomancy aspect, because that is really treating the land not only in its shape and how that will affect the land, the property, so as to whether it's mountains or it's roads or rivers or forest, the kind of the shape and the movement of the land, but the spirit of the land itself. So that's going to be different for every place that we go to, feeling into what is going on in that place and what has happened in that place over time. So geomancy really is about sensing into the spirit of a place and seeking to bring harmony between the people that are there and the spirit of the place. And when there is, when there has been some kind of trauma or difficulties going on in a place, then it can either be that in some way the land is not happy with how the people are behaving, or the people aren't happy with what's going on with the spirit of the land. So there's some kind of a conflict going on.
Right.
So my work is always starts off with being a detective. You know, that's the Miss Marple or the Sherlock Holmes or whatever, right, coming out in doing the detective work. And it's a process. It's not something, you know, because very often I think people imagine that as somebody who works as a healer of places, or of people, we don't instantly turn up and just straight away we start doing the healing work. Like you wouldn't do that with a person. You know, if you were doing a healing session with a person, you'd spend some time talking through with them about what's going on, and then sometimes sensing into what you feel is happening in their chakras, in their energy body, or what's happened in their history. You know, their medical history, their life history. So it's the same thing with a property. So we need to know, okay, how long have you been here? What have you experienced since you've been here? What do you know about the history of this area? What do you know about the previous occupiers and what happened to them? And in the way of a detective, start to get little clues here and there that are putting together a story of everything that's happened in that place. And as the consultant, also looking for our intuitive things that come to mind that seem to be making synchronicities and other things that we notice that draw our attention. And we think, okay, I just noticed that, or I just heard that, or certain language somebody's using, or a dream I had, or something like that. You know, it's like it all plays a part. And, you know, so the land also can be carrying things that can have come from quite a way away. It might be that exact garden or that exact plot of land, or it might be something that's happened a few miles away, but it's sent like a shockwave through the land, which is still being felt in this particular location. So that comes down to things like if there's been quarrying, or there's been the building of roads, the building of railways, where there's been trees have been cut down, or there's an ancient site where there's been a battle, or there might be some kind of conflict has gone on over land ownership. There might be a site where there's been, you know, the place where they kill animals, when they go to get
right,
killed.
A slaughterhouse.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Or it could be a place where witches were executed, or it might be a place where there has been some kind of a prison. You know, all different things like that will have an effect on how the land is. And also I think it comes from a place of just human ignorance, really, of not responding to land in that way of there tends to be a sense of ownership. We're here for a brief amount of time, but
Right.
very often people feel like they've got
This
this.
is my property, right? Yeah.
Exactly. And they can do what they like with it, and they can come in and they can bring the bulldozers in. And I've heard of people using explosive to blow the top of
Dynamite.
the mountain off to build their nice retreat center or something. And I was just
Right.
like, that just doesn't even how could that feel right,
Right, right.
The way that people can come in without thinking about what they're doing and creating something just without any sense of communication with the place to see what feels right and the right way to go about it. Simple things like I was taught if you're going to cut down a tree to build a house, then let the tree know, give it some notice,
Yeah,
so
I've heard
things like that.
24 hours notice, right?
Give it
24,
some
48
notice.
hours.
Yeah, as much notice as possible. I had this conversation with a wisteria that's along the boundary between me and my neighbors because we've had really high gales at the start of September. And it's actually meant that this amazing wisteria that's so beautiful and smells divine, but it's blown and pulled down part of the fence between
Right,
us.
because it's such a strong structure, right? So
Yeah.
it's pulling everything with
Yeah.
it. Yeah.
And I spoke to the neighbor and he said, oh yeah, my gardener or builder or something said I might have to take it all down. And I was saying, oh no, that would be such a shame because it's so beautiful. Surely there's a way that it can be saved. But I felt that I needed to have that conversation with the spirit of the wisteria to let it know, like, this is what's happening at the moment. And I'm praying that there's a way that they will be able to keep you, but just to let you know what's going on, because I don't want it to be. I mean, it's wild. I mean, sometimes it upsets me because it gets tangled in my washing and things like that. But it's very beautiful, and I'm praying that it can remain. But I felt it was always good to let them know what's going on, so that they don't get that shock of suddenly a chainsaw comes out and whoosh, they're gone. And the spirit of the plant hasn't had its time
Well, to take itself to
actually.
another plant
Exactly,
or
exactly.
go back up into the cosmos or down into Mother Gaia,
Exactly.
wherever it needs to
Exactly. It's a
do
plan,
to.
it's where it's going next kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is just such a beautiful example, Sue, of the really the missing piece of the puzzle of modern or current property development as we know it, which is to speak to nature, speak to the land, speak to the plants, the minerals, the animals, and also beings. It could be ghosts, it could be and angels, devas, right? Landscape devas. I mean, there's so many beings and energies that we can encounter on the land. And even without being, let's say, a very experienced geomancer like you, architects and designers and property developers, if they could just take that those first steps of the standard protocol, which was practiced and still is in some more so, I would say, in more Eastern cultures, more so than
Yeah.
West. But if we could just, right, like bring that back into the building code. I always talk about that with my clients who are women architects and designers. We got to bring this back into the building code, right? Just like good manners, ethics, and really it's about that awareness, about the fact that the land is a living being, plants are living, and we can have conversations with them. The other piece that I really appreciate in your beautiful introduction of geomancy and the amazing work that you do is that you're not only sticking to one modality. It sounds like you've trained yourself with these various modalities, and you're dipping into various medicine bags, various tool bags, and really working with the moment at hand and being that detective. right? Asking the right questions. It absolutely, it is very similar to healing someone. And I love that comparison. The land is a body, right? And, you know, we are bodies, we can be healed. The land can also be healed in the same way, in its essence. And to be the detective and start asking questions like, okay, well, how did you acquire this land? What was previously here? Are you having lots of arguments on this particular spot? Why? I mean, these are examples. So I love it. So with this work, then what are the benefits? What do you see are the benefits for building a healing home, you know, building a home, a garden, a community? What are the benefits? Yeah.
I think when, you know, approaching it in this way, to me, I get a deep sense that it's being done with right relationship. And so by doing it in right relationship, by bringing together the harmony between the needs and the aspirations of the people who are living there and the actual, you know, being receptive and sensitive to what that particular location is going to fit, what's going to fit there, what's going to work there, what's practical. We can have ideas about an ideal design or something, but what's actually going to fit and work in that situation? How's that actually going to work for the people that this is for? And how are we going to listen to nature? How are we going to, in whichever way is authentic for us? So each of us has, you know, for some people it's angels, for some people it's goddesses, and for other people it might be tree spirits, and for somebody else it might be nature spirits. For somebody else might link to it just by their love of nature. And they just have a love and appreciation of nature. It doesn't go into it being particularly deities and things, but pretty much everybody, I think, if you ask them what are their resources, everybody will say that they love being out in nature in some way, you know. So having that appreciation for what we intuitively feel is the right way, the respectful way, the ethical way to work with the land and with the nature, then that's bringing it into harmony. And so that is going to mean that the people who are going to be living there are going to come in to a place that has that. This is what, you know, that auspicious magic, that grace to it, which is what you know, people who seek feng shui or astrology readings, that's what it's all about. Is everybody's looking for grace, looking for how do we orientate things that so that it's going to have the very best potential for happiness, for harmony, for good fortune, for success, for abundance, all the things that everybody wants to create. And so by bringing things into right relationship and having this alignment with synchronicity, you know, I think it just helps that magic to happen. And that's what gets me really excited about a place, is to be able to like look for the magic, look for the ways to which is a process, as I say, of detective work, and then really getting to meet people and helping them to feel safe enough to be really themselves and to really share openly and tuning to the spirit of the land and bringing together, you know, this magical, I guess being ADHD, I have a certain way of bringing together all these different things, from the feng shui to the geomancy to the space clearing, astrology. It's like all these different windows that are open, and finding a way to bring it all together, different layers of the story, so that everything comes into a beautiful alignment. And then that's going to give everybody the very best start in their new home, or the best fresh start if it's a place that they've been in a while, or if it's a business. It's like keying into the magical side of it, really, to bring in not only the practical, which is an essential part of it, but bringing in some magic as well. So it's marrying the practical and bringing that in with some of the magic as well, and of course, you know, the love, the beauty, and people's personal touches, whatever that might be, that makes it truly theirs, whether that's fitting their particular intentions for their life or for their family or for their business. So making it very personal and unique.
Oh, I love that. So beautiful.
Hey, this is Aisha popping in here to let you know about my free webinar. This is where you're going to discover how to unlock your spirit architect mastery, and it's going to support you to magnetize amazing clients who love paying you top dollar for your intuitive gifts. You're going to magnetize soul liberating health and overflowing creativity, birthing the sanctuaries of our new earth. I also offer an exclusive resource that I don't share publicly. This is the Sacred Blueprint Sweet Spot Profit Map. This is where you're going to gain tools that are going to support you to ditch the depletion of conventional practice in order to build a prospering architecture practice, bridging spirit with form. So make sure you sign up below for your free access, and on with the interview.
Do you give your clients a guide for, you know, how to use this place in the future? Like, I just thought about that now, because, there is, now that we're all awakening, we're all transforming, no matter who we are. The clients that approach me are eager to be co-creators, and they're interested in being involved. And what I find is that the more I empower them, Sue, to be good stewards, not only practical stewards of the land, but also energetic stewards, right? Communicating with the subtle realm, even though I may not always use that language, but, you know, communicating with the land, making offerings, you know, ceremonies. I find that, you know, it's really important to give that guidebook and to give them recommendations to use the, you know, on how to continue the maintenance, right?
So when I mean, it depends on always on the needs and the interests of the clients, because some people kind of want you to come along, just do your magical thing, and then, you know, and leave me to just carry on as I was afterwards. Whereas other people are genuinely, they get very inspired by the process. Yeah. And so what I'll tend to do with people is, after we've done the space clearing and blessing ceremony, for example, and for some people, it might be the first time they've ever participated in a ceremony, but they'll be very touched by the experience, because it's a huge shift to go through from, you know, it's just a very intense portal kind of opens up of transformation. And it's like we both make this agreement together that we're going to go on this incredible ride together. And it's can be a huge shift within a very short space of time. You know, feng shui things tend to take a while for them to
Settle in, anchor in.
Yeah. And really start to play their part. But with space clearing, it's like it happens within the ceremony. It's really profound. So, and then afterwards, you know, I'll encourage people, what you might like to do moving forwards as a nice thing to do for your business or for your home environment is every now and then do like a mini ceremony for yourselves. So say you just feel you've had a bad week and everybody's been a bit moaning and groaning or had an argument or something like that. And you go, oh, come on, let's get back the good vibes. Right. So a short and simple way and tools that are accessible, and they can, because they've already been through the ceremony with me, they will be able to tune into that and remember how that felt. and to kind of recreate their own version of that so that they can refresh the energy. And of course, I can come back if it's they're going through right. a big, you know, want to have a big comprehensive shift or something, major changes in their lives. But something, as you say, it's nice to for people to feel empowered that they have got their own DIY version.
Right.
Yeah. And the same with some of the feng shui recommendations. So sometimes those will be things like, for example, a home altar. So that's something that needs, it's not just you do it and you leave it. It's something that you're going to nurture. Yeah. It's something you're going to feed and it's going to gather momentum. Or it could be an altar in the garden. You know, I remember with one case study, going to a house where it looked like a very kind of normal place with a modern house in a, on a modern estate. But when I journeyed to find out what was going on, because the little boy who lived there, he didn't want to go, he wouldn't go in the garden. So there's something going on here. Children and pets tend to be very sensitive to energies.
Absolutely.
And when I did a journey, as soon as I started doing my shamanic journey, because I will sense into the energies using dowsing, using energy sensing around the whole place, and then doing a shamanic journey with my drum. And as soon as I closed my eyes and started drumming, I was seeing scenes of a medieval battle and, you know, really shocking scenes, mud and horses falling and, you know, swords, blood, and yeah. it was full on. So I was like, wow, okay, do you know anything about a battle that happened here? And she said, well, actually, come to think of it, there's lots of pictures in the local church of that, of those kinds of battle scenes. So I said, yeah, that's what I'm feeling is energetically in on this land. So it's still imprinted here. And so then after I'd done the, you know, the healing and the clearing work and the soul release work of spirit rescue work of any of the spirits that were left on the land. So then said, what I'm feeling, because I'll always ask what's needed for healing in this place. What is the antidote to whatever has happened here? And I was guided to create and suggest that they create a peace altar. So this was left as their homework, you know, because I was going to drive home. But I said, what I'm seeing is to what I'm being guided to encourage you to do is to create an altar to peace on this land. And that is going to be that's going to bring about, that's the antidote for what's happened here.
Wow.
And so I doused to find the very best location in the garden for this.
When you say you doused for the audience members who don't know like exactly what dousing is, you want to show? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your tools.
Yeah. Yeah. My handy rods. So some people douse using a pendulum.
Yep.
You know, pendulum here somewhere. So that just depends on which tool you prefer. So, but it's a way of finding yes and no responses, yes and no answers to questions. So you can either use something like this that you're going to have programmed to give you a yes or a no answer. So you need to be very specific with your questions. You're not asking for opinions like, is he the right man?
Do I like this person?
Yeah. Those kinds of things. Like people are always asking, is he the right one for me? Is this the right job for me or the right house for me? You know, that's an opinion. That's you're not going to get very accurate answers. But if you ask something like, you know, show me only where is the very, you know, the perfect land energies and stellar energies that are affecting this piece of land, which is going to be the most auspicious location for a peace altar. You know, something like that. So making it very specific.
Very specific. Yeah.
And I'm not actually in that situation. I'm not asking for yes or no, but I'm asking to be shown where it is.
I'll
start walking along the property, the side of the property, saying, show me when I'm at right angles to that place. And then for me, the rods crossing is my yes response. That's the place. And then I'll walk at right angles away from the property and go, right now, show me when I'm standing on this point. And then they'll, when they cross, then I'll mark that spot with something, and then I'll make sure that I've got it exactly right. So I'll test it.
Yeah, testing it around again. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Oh, I love this demo. Yeah.
And then DAOs for what's the any other information that can come through about the materials, or what's needed. Is there a particular crystal that would be good there? Is there a particular any other information that can come through for the altar? And it was really lovely because then I could say, so this is for you to create, and you might want to put a men here, or you could find something in your local garden center that you want to put as the main piece, and then add to it. So, encouraging the little boy to, when you go out somewhere, look for stones that are going to be special stones want to come back and be a part of your peace altar. And it was really lovely to hear that they'd not only had they built the peace altar, but the boy was really into it, and he was really happy to be in the garden after that.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. That is such a success story.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really lovely how getting these divine inspiration and divine guidance that can come through, and intuitive guidance that can come through, and then, following that, and I think that's a really helpful thing to know, because to emphasize is, I think that as we start out as practitioners, unless you're somebody that's been very much encouraged with your intuition, most of us have been told kind of don't be so silly, and our education has been very much about developing the left side of the brain. It's all about logic and reason and science, and that's what's respected. It's almost like a religion in itself. A lot of us tend to doubt. I certainly did at first. When I first started to, I felt drawn to train in these arts, but I kept kind of doubting myself and thinking, well, I kind of thought maybe I saw this, but then maybe I'm making it up,
Right.
Or maybe it's just because I saw a film about that recently, and it's, all these different ways that I could doubt myself. And I think that is also a symptom of the patriarchy, having been, rampant patriarchy for so many hundreds of years, which has meant that the voice of the feminine is in doubt. The voice of the feminine is in doubt. And we even, we'll also hear that amongst women. Women, it's the patriarchy is within all of us,
Absolutely.
So have that
this is not a black and white thing. Yeah.
So we need to have that discernment within ourselves to check where our unconscious biases can come out and come through. It's crazy to think. It was very recently that women were allowed to buy property, women were allowed to vote, and all of these things, very, very recent. So it's almost
when we think of like the Earth's age.
yeah, it's so shocking. Like when you because we can assume that we've got all kinds of freedoms, certainly in Europe, and so it's really quite shocking to hear about where we don't have those.
Yeah.
Those
and of course, yeah. And when I say the Earth's age, of course, there were times when we did have those rights. These are gazillions of years ago that, are just coming up in our memories again, Atlantis, Lemuria, maybe even Hyperborea. So when I say it's not like, we go in cycles, right? But I love that you are bringing up the feminine. I love that you're bringing up the patriarchy. And, this is a theme that I'm witnessing so much in women architects and designers who I mentor. And I love mentoring them in this field and to help them to come out of this fear and this self-con, this consistent or persistent rather self-doubt.
Yeah.
And to start to use their feminine magic into in the way that they practice architecture so that they start to use their intuition again to create spaces and do it in a way that nourishes their soul. I mean, Sue, I was so depleted from working in conventional architecture. it wasn't all bad. I worked with great teams, beautiful people. I gained a lot of, you know, experience, and the structure of it was not serving me. I was constantly depleted. I had chronic illnesses. I was getting angry. I was blaming others. I mean, just like, it was not my place. And now that I am speaking my truth openly and freely, boy, oh boy, like, have the creative juices started to flow, and really the divine feminine. And I want to hear more about this, because I know you're really connected to the divine feminine, and have beautiful projects underway about in co-creation with her. But she's been really like, you know, it's like the divine feminine's been like really, I just think of a dial being turned up, turned up, turned up. She's encouraging all of us to speak our truth. She's rising out of the earth. I mean, I connect her a lot with the primal waters, that they want to be called back to this land. The beauty, the sacredness, also the flow, and also the feeling safe in our sexual creative life force as well. These are things that we can't speak about in the architecture field. You know, we could talk about intuition a little bit, you know, okay, the soul and this and that, but really going full force, like tapping our sexual creative power, for example, as an example, not that it's only for procreation, right? Or sexual pleasure, but I'm talking about something far great, like very vast here. And, you know, the goddess Artemis at the temple in Ephesus is teaching me a lot. We were talking a little bit about it behind the scenes. And I know with you, you have your goddess guides, and are really helping to usher in this awakening of the divine feminine. Can you share more about what you're up to with her?
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, this is something I find very exciting and really passionate about. And it was interesting because about a year ago, I was at a festival in Portugal, and yeah, I was feeling a bit down, and I did a few things. That I did a breath work, which was, I had a 180 degree turn and felt really fired up of for life. And then I did a Kundalini activation, during which I experienced this rose energy, like pulsating through all of my chakras and awakening my sexual energy, yeah, which had been felt a little bit kind of parked up for a while. And then I felt Isis. The first thing actually was Isis coming to me. Wow. So I felt Isis. I thought Isis come in, and then I felt this rose energy and the sexual energy and vitality waking up within me. Yeah. And then an owl, which is my main spirit guide, power animal, coming through. And I had this experience of seeing 360 degrees all around me. And I was like, okay, this is pretty cosmic.
Right.
So I felt pretty switched on. And and at the time I was like, oh, well, I could just go and rest. But I thought, no, it'd be good to integrate this. So I went and joined in this other activity, which was a trance dance workshop. And I was thinking, I don't think I'll stay long, but I'll do it for a bit just to integrate everything. So my intention was to integrate, and you put on a blindfold and you're dancing. And I wasn't calling for a vision or anything. I was just, my intention was to integrate. And then suddenly, bang, I was shown this vision and told, build a temple. And it was a temple to the Divine Mother and the Kundalini Rose Garden. And there'll be lots of different modalities there, and and it's a culmination of everything that I've ever been working for, you know, for other people, helping other people to build beautiful houses and retreat centers and homes and beautify their homes. But this is a place where I'm going to live and be in devotion to the building of this beautiful temple space, which is not aligned to any particular religion, but a bit of all of them and none of them. But really certain archetypes there, which is going to be, you know, I'm seeing it, envisioning it with, you know, sacred geometry and a beautiful medicine garden with amazing cacti and roses and all these other amazing teacher plants. And really being able to bring together everything that I've studied and worked with all my life, but in a place where I'm going to be living and I'm going to be inviting people to come to as a place for education, a place for restoration, a place for creativity and celebration, which I'm very passionate about as well. So I feel, you know, at the time I just published my book. I'd literally pressed go on my book that very night. And I kind of thought that was my mission done for this lifetime. Now I'm just in extra time kind of thing. And then bang, I got this extra mission. And it's very much about dedicated to the Divine Mother. And what I'm feeling about that is that it's about bringing things back into balance, because some people, it's surprising actually, when I've mentioned that to some people, they immediately get a bit uppity and they're going, but what about the divine masculine? And you know, isn't that it'll be all about unity? And I'm saying, well, I think it's bigger than that. You know, the Divine Mother actually births everything,
encompasses,
and this is about revering her, because she's been so abused for so long, and actually awakening and revering the feminine in all of us. And it's also about our sacred relationship with nature, with nature, with the cosmos, with Pachamama, with Prajnaparamita. It's like that sacred right relationship with everything. And I totally envision, I mean, I'll have to wait and see what works in practice, but it's the masculine being in some way represented as holding the feminine, holding a safe space for the feminine to truly flourish, you know, in her true self.
I love it. I'm getting shivery.
So it's very exciting, and this is, it's still in its embryonic phase, because I'm still I'm looking for the place to build it, and still in the process of calling in the right people to be you know, custodians and caretakers of the land, the garden and the temple. So it's still at its very beginning phases, but it will be somewhere in Portugal. And so far the clues are coming that it's going to be somewhere in kind of north central Portugal, probably around Viseu, around there. So,
detective work, right? Listening.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's like a treasure hunt. It really is like a treasure hunt.
Yeah. But it was interesting because thinking about the themes of the divine feminine as well. So we often look at the divine feminine as being, people describe the feminine as mother, maiden and crone, maiden, mother, crone. So
I would add queen in there too. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we can say instead of the mother, maybe the queen.
I would say, it's a different.
Okay. Or as well as.
I
mean, there's other ones we can add in there, you know, huntress and things like that. But generally speaking, thinking about different aspects of the feminine.
Yes.
So with the, from, you know, something to, which is really important to me is beauty. Mm. You know, it's creating beauty. And that beauty can has like all women has all different ways. There's all different kinds of beauty, or like all people, there's all different kinds of beauty. But creating beauty is something that is very important to me in terms of like how this place is going to be, you know. And that beauty is a celebration of life itself and of nature, you know, and in all different ways of creating beauty and playfulness. So that's the more the younger kind of side of the divine feminine, bringing in this beauty and playfulness. So we'll see how we can do it, but I'm hoping that's going to be some ways in which there's a playful quality, hopefully with some kind of water and things like that.
I love it.
That kind of thing, but really bringing in that stunning beauty to the place. And then so the mothering aspect to be really nourishing. So the different what can we grow in the garden that is super nourishing, and creating that sense of holding, that sense of a safe space for people to come and to be able to let their hair down, to be able to open up for a tender, vulnerable,
to cry.
Exactly. To really be able to open up in that way and to feel held, you know, because also I think that we all need to be held at times, even the ones who are usually doing the holding. Every now and then we need someone to hold us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So a place that's really got a very strong, safe space of holding. And then we've got the crone aspect to it, which is this, you know, the wisdom, obviously. Mm. So the wisdom of the teachings that can come yeah. through, and also the wildness, you know, so it's not all tamed and.
Right. Right. Like the, right. Yeah.
That it's that there's ways in which there is wildness there,
yeah.
and wildness is really welcomed and celebrated, you know.
So, oh, I love it. You're painting such a beautiful picture, and yeah. As you speak your words, right, like
yeah,
how powerful our words are, right? As you speak, you know that your words are like paintbrushes painting yeah. the scene, and then creating the energetics to make it a reality.
Exactly.
Our words are so powerful, and I love that, you know, that your vision, that it's not just about being a woman, or it's not just about the goddess or the divine feminine, but she was birthing us all, both yeah. men, women, and everything in between. So, right, architecture too. I mean, architecture is a very male archetype. He's structure, he's foundations, he holds the space. Those, yeah. you know, if we think of the Greek ancient temples, right? The, you know, the strength, the proportions, right? The solidity of it. But what occurred, let's say, like at the mystery schools for the priests and priestesses there, was the feminine, right? The spirit moving through, being held within that space.
Yeah.
And very precise, right? Like with the sacred geometries.
Yeah.
Very precise, very deliberate. In the work that I do with my women architects and designers, I lead them on retreats in Ephesus. The point of going to sacred sites like this and visiting them, and you know, me talking about the precision of the temples and their designs, isn't really to replicate that architecture. It's not at all, actually. Like you, who's blending in, you know, all these modalities and really working with the moment. What do we need now in this space and time for all different kinds of clients? That's my question. And that's what drives me to, like, what is the new architecture, right? What can that look like? With this beautiful balance between the divine feminine and the divine masculine. Yeah. I love it.
Something that I find also is just coming to mind is the fact that, say in my own personal journey, I recently realized that, in this is what kind of brought me to be a healer, really, and brought me into this world. Was actually, you know, I mentioned it very briefly in my book, but my grandfather was a Mason, and Masons are really into sacred geometry,
yeah.
and rituals and things yeah. like that. Now, he actually, you know, I was abused by him in a ritualistic manner. So this was the dark side. Yeah, the dark side of misusing that knowledge.
Absolutely.
in a way that's really, really dark and abusive, and it's amazing for me to see how, without even realizing it, until earlier this year, when I suddenly realized that the Masonic side of it and the ritualistic side of it.
Yeah.
And realizing how it's just incredible, really, to think that my whole life has been about, you know, extricating myself from obviously the damage that did to me and my psyche, particularly because I was so young, you know, between the age of 3 and 6. So to have turned that around, to have now come to a place where I'm going to create an amazing temple space with probably the same geometry that Masonic.
Maybe some similar principles that.
Working with divination.
Wow. Profound, Sue. Yeah.
I mean, he worked with cards as well. Like, so, and I work with oracle cards, but it's about turning something completely, you know, that's the other end of the spectrum of being about abuse and horror, turning it into being about beauty and being about empowerment and being about love,
benevolence.
And creativity, turning it's just amazing within my own personal journey. And so that's something that I think is just, you know, I hope it's an inspiration to others, that anybody's watching who's gone through any kind of whatever they've been through in their lives, that we can, within the space of our own lifetime, completely turn things around, and in some magical way that wound then becomes the thing that we then turn to beauty, to light.
Kind of an aspect of the medicine. There's a key to the medicine within that wound.
Yeah, there's the you know, the treasure within the wreckage, as it comes out. You know, so so that even in the darkest or the most difficult things we might have been through, that can then lead us to be in the perfect place and in the perfect way to then turn that into something extraordinarily beautiful and valuable.
Oh, that's so profound. Turning the lead into gold, right? Like the true alchemist.
Yeah. And also I find that sometimes people can actually be led, the way that I would see it, led to actually live in places where they've had a past life, some kind of karma happened.
Yeah.
And in this lifetime, they're drawn to that place again because they have an opportunity to make things right this time. And so that's also the opportunities for people. Yeah. Everything that is happening, we are living our karma, you know, and we are carrying the wounds and the blessings of the ancestors. So this is taking us to places in our life where it's no accident that we've happened to be in a certain place with a certain building, and it's got a certain kind of imprint, energetic imprint to that place, and we're attracted to it. Something about that place attracts us. There's, you know, thousands, millions,
so many other choices, right? Yeah,
when it comes to the people we choose and when it comes to the places we choose and the location. So there's something about that there's always opportunities for healing and for transformation and for awakening. So I think that that's also a useful thing for people to look for. What are in the detective work, right? What are the clues? What is the learning? And sometimes that's also something that comes with people with certain places. Like somebody will be saying to me, okay, you know, what's the healing here? And sometimes it's like we have to look at an aspect of ourselves, and we're brought here, and there's an opportunity for us to come again into this right relationship. Where do we need to come into more integrity? Where do we need to perhaps say, I'm sorry? Or where do we need to actually stop hiding and doubting ourselves and shine our light and speak our truth,
right?
Whatever it might be, you know. It's like that's also
part. I could think of so many things about my own house and our land and our property. My god, I'm learning so much about myself, my relationship with my husband, with my son, there's so much. It's amazing.
So that's also part of the antidote.
Yeah.
Part of what needs to come here, what needs to be seen, what needs to, you know, because we've all got our blind spots.
And absolutely.
That's another good thing about getting a consultant in, because, you know, I always say, you know, the hardest consultation we can ever do is for our own home, because we're just used to
it. Big time. Big time.
We're just used to it. But somebody coming in with fresh eyes can say, hang on a minute, have you thought about.
Right.
And the other, you know, and to shine some light on those things, which is what my job is, which is also why I like working with oracle cards with people, because that helps to reveal a certain It's a way of, oh, it's just so magical. It actually brings tears to my eyes and makes all the hair stand on end. Every time I do one with whoever it's with, doing the oracular reading to see what's coming through as the divine message. And it's great because it gives people a really lovely map of how to move forwards. So it's like, okay, what are the challenges I'm facing at the moment? And what is the gifts? And where am I moving towards? And it just provides a really beautiful roadmap for people. And every time, because we've got lots going on, you know, everybody's a bit overwhelmed with the fact that they've, you know, with their work, with their health, with their family, with their community, with what's going on politically.
Yeah, advancements in technology, everything.
All of these things, there's just so much we have to deal with, and it's finding the time for everything. So it's really useful to bring in the oracular reading to give people this divine insight. And very often it can say the things that I've been kind of thinking, should I say that? And thinking, I don't know them well enough, perhaps.
Right, but as
to say it. But there it is in the cards. Fantastic. Right. And the cards will say
it's something tangible. It's like, right, this is it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, whatever it might be, or it'll be reminding, like I said, of these blind spots that we all need to be able to, you know, it's thank you, you know, for bringing through this guidance, you know. So that's an aspect that I like to bring through to the to any consultation if people are open to it. And I find that every time people are amazed by how useful that is, and how it just seems like, you know, if you'd have hid behind the sofa and picked out the cards that were the best ones for them, you couldn't have picked a better selection of cards and messages to be really, really helpful and speak to that person.
Oh, you know? I love that. I love that you weave that in. Yeah. Yeah. That's brilliant. Ah. Oh. This is amazing. I want the audience to see some of these beautiful photos of you working on the land. So briefly, you can share just briefly for each image what you're up to there. They're just so beautiful. Like, they're just reinforcing so much of the spirit of what Sue has been sharing in today's talk. Just take a moment to get my screen set up here. Okay, here's Sue on the land. Yeah, share. What were you doing there?
So this is at a retreat center in Spain, where I was doing some work on the land there. And it was space clearing for the property and also encompassing doing the healing on the land. And what I found when I was doing my journeys and my energy sensing was that there had been a history of persecution and a fear of persecution. So whether that was, I was sensing into some Jewish people who'd been on the land, to some gypsies who'd been traveling through, and to the different people who lived there, because it would have gone through difficult times in politically when people felt very vulnerable. So there was a fear of persecution, and this had put in this like fear into the land. And what the healing was the land wanted to come back to a place of there being this reciprocity. So the land having the joy of giving the harvest, and the people having the joy of gathering the harvest and sharing that abundantly. And so that was the sacred reciprocity that needed to be restored and bringing back. So this was actually doing a soul retrieval for the land that had lost this aspect to its essence through this fear of persecution, which had been tilled into the land. Because when you think about it, when people are worried and they're anxious, and then they're going out and they're working on the land, so that's
the vibration, everything about those thought forms, they all penetrate within the cells of the land.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was very beautiful, and because there's a community living there, I got the whole community involved in the process of doing this healing. And when I first arrived there, I like to spend more than just a day, you know, I like to spend a few days just to gradually let do my detective work and let things just come up you know, intuitively into my awareness. But when I first arrived, the first thing I did when I did a journey as to the energy, what I need to be aware of and what energy needed to come to the place. And I saw an image of a hare. And hare medicine is about new beginnings and about blessings and magic. And we actually were painting a picture together of different things to represent this like blessing on the land. So I painted a hare onto this this piece of material that everybody was co-creating together. And it was interesting because just before we did the land healing, a couple of the guys had gone out shopping, and when they came back, as they were driving down the road, they saw a fresh hare had been run over, and or had been killed. So it was just freshly killed, and they picked it up and said, "Look what we just found on the track," as they turned up. And so we brought it as an offering, as a giveaway, as they call it, an offering to the ceremony, and we put it into the compost so that the energy of the hare would go into the composting, into the land. Yeah. And that was a sacred moment, a synchronicity.
Wow.
And we got everybody involved in the process of, you know, of joining in with the healing on the land and being able to actually give voice to the pain that was held in the land, and then to call back and drum back into the land the true soul nature and essence of that land to be restored back to harmony. So it was a really beautiful ceremony. And I love to do those, you know, ceremonies where we can incorporate different people and just be spontaneous to the moment.
Yeah, what's happening in the moment. Yeah. And look at, like, talk about that synchronicity with the hare that was run over. Yeah. I'm going to just... Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. And another beautiful thing I remember about this was this particular job was I went to the hill that's behind the property, and I sat on the hill and journeyed to meet with the spirit of the hill and asked what guidance could the spirit of that hill give to me as to the overall harmony of the property as a retreat center. And I felt the spirit of the hill telling me to create an altar to the sun and the moon. And the sun is the place where people would be celebrating and singing songs and dancing and feasting. And then the moon would be a place underneath this tree where I had sensed there had been a dog had been tied up and had really suffered, and where there had been an actual physical fight had taken place. I sensed had happened in the past between two brothers. And so this was a place of reflection and a place to reflect that when we come into community, that we are having an effect, all of our thoughts and all of our energy that we bring. And so to bring some humility and some awareness to what are we bringing to that community, and to be aware of any of our shadow sides, the bitchy side, the judgmental side.
Right. The control freak side.
Any of these sides that can come out in us, which are actually then, you know, not harmonious and not helpful. So that was such a beautiful guidance to come through from the spirit of the land of that hill that's behind the retreat center and is like the guardian behind it. So that was really beautiful. And we created that. You know, the people who ran it were really into that idea. So that's what we created in their retreat center as well.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'm going to move to the next image here. I love this image of you.
Yay.
But what are you standing behind?
So this was at a piece of land near Glastonbury. You can actually, in the very far... Wow.
I've heard amazing things about Glastonbury. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you'd love it. You'd love it. So in the background, on the right-hand side, you can see Glastonbury Tor on the hill in the distance. And this is a very beautiful piece of land where they hold festivals.
Okay.
And this was a festival that we called All About Freedom. And I actually married a couple of people at that festival, so I was the person who facilitated their wedding, and this was the earth altar at that particular
So
festival
beautiful.
next to a sacred fire where people made prayers. So yeah, it was wonderful. There was an yeah, we were celebrating freedom, it was a lot of fun and it was beautiful. We were blessed with good weather and it was lovely to see. This was a guy from the UK and she's half, she was born in Israel, but her father's English. So there was, all of the family were there to join together. And then the whole community from the festival all gathered around. And it was a really powerful ceremony with a lot of people joining in to celebrate their love. And they actually live in Portugal. That it's very handy actually because he's a carpenter and he's helped me with my putting all my stuff back together after I'm
Wow, the
out of
story continues. Yeah, I
the
love
house. They're
that.
really good friends of mine here in Portugal. So
Oh,
yeah,
beautiful.
really
So
lovely.
beautiful. Oh, thanks for sharing these, Sue, with us and all of your amazing success stories with your clients and the incredible healing work that you are doing for the land as well as your clients. Before we close, I'd love the audience to hear what you're up to. You're up to a lot of things. Share how they can get in touch with you. At the end, or rather below this video recording, just scroll down and you'll be able to access all of Sue's links for her various programs and courses. Tell us about them. What are you up to?
So I'm available for consultations. So anybody who's got any, from small apartments up to big retreat centers and businesses, consultations working with holistically with feng shui, space clearing, and geomancy. And also, I'm a healer of people. So we can also sometimes people say that they'd like to have a healing on them or the key members of their staff as well. So that's also something that's possible. So a personal consultation. I also offer accredited training courses where we go very in depth. And due to the lockdown situation, I had to switch everything to online. But I'm now going to be teaching in person again in
Nice.
the UK, probably in Portugal shortly as well, but definitely in the UK from next year. So people can find out about those courses. And obviously, there's early bird prices as well for people to come if you want to come and train in these skills. So either doing healing for houses and for the land, or healing for people. So people healing
Perfect.
as well.
Love it.
Also offering an online summit, which is called Alchemy for the Golden Age. And it's about how to let go of old conditioning and to awaken our true nature. So I've got a group of different speakers that are going to be on that. And that's
Love that.
coming out at the end of September, this month, September
Beautiful.
2024. And it'll be available after that as well. But yeah, and if you want to have lifetime access to all the interviews, you only have to purchase one copy of my book that's behind me here, or it's also available on audiobook. So that's Becoming a Healer.
Beautiful.
And it's all about my story woven into DIY healing techniques and also tips on how to hold space for healing for others, working
Beautiful.
through the chakras. So, and it's very user-friendly, it's just in my normal voice. So I think it's very people, that's what people are saying to me. It's very friendly, it's very easy to
Oh,
read.
beautiful. Accessible, right?
Accessible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful.
So that's mainly what I'm
Awesome.
up to.
Oh, I
I'm
love
also
it.
doing a chakra alchemy course, which goes with the book. So that's going
Nice.
to be available straight after the summit. So that'll be available from the start of October as well.
I love it, Sue. Wow. So many resources, so many ways that that our audience can get in touch with you and learn how to do the work, the great alchemical work of either land healing, house healing, or healing for people. That's so beautiful, Sue. So beautiful. So make sure everyone you scroll down and you check out Sue's links. And yeah, it's such an honor to have you join this circle again, Sue. It was a really great conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Aisha. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it. And I'm really excited to stay in touch and see where this all goes in the future.
I know. We're building the temple together, right? In some way, shape, or form. I think it's really important. You know, the temple doesn't need to be this one place. The temple is our words, is our thoughts, you know, our hearts, as well as actually physical locations on this earth that will usher in the good, true, beautiful evolution of humankind, not the one that some energies on this planet are trying to derail us on and take us on to another path that's really not in tune with nature, right? In tune with Mother Earth.
Exactly. And that's, as you're saying, it's like that the temple is you know, it's our life, it's our words are our prayers, and our the way we're living our life is what's helping to restore things back into harmony and balance.
Absolutely. Yes. Hear, hear. Yes. So just hold on for a moment, Sue. I'm going to just do a conclusion here and speak to our audience and thank them. Thank you for joining today's interview. And make thanks, Sue, again. Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into the New Earth Architectress. It is my intention to inspire more women architects to come out of hiding and unleash their intuitive powers to build a prospering architecture practice aligned with their divine calling. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review on iTunes, and share this episode with other women architects you know are feeling the nudges to bridge spirit with form. You can find out more about me and the Sacred Blueprint Movement by visiting AishaRoseMelodyHassan.com. Until next time.